Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix. From AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
And welcome to episode number 84. I'm Johnny Anonymous.
And I'm Dave Rabbit. We're going to get right to it because we got something special we want to do on this intro. We have UFO sightings, which I dearly love, and
we have a very interesting interview with Stuart Swerdlow.
And we hook up with the Bill Irvin, the skeptic overlord, to tell us more about the hottest threads on the ATS area.
And then we're going to conclude tonight's show with a very special Mad as Hell segment featuring you, Dave. You went out on the field and talked to a trucker.
Yeah, and they're not happy at all. And we want to remind everybody that this was recorded 2 weeks ago when the price of diesel had gone up from like $4.69 when we taped this to, I think it's almost $5 now, John. It's gone up about 40 cents here in Dallas.
Wow, they must be really be hurting right about now.
They're more than hurting. They're mad as hell. And I'm telling you, it's going to get really nasty here in Dallas.
Kind of a special week for us, is it not?
Johnny and I are celebrating our one-year anniversary as of June 11th, 2008. A year ago, Johnny and I became partners on the ATS Mix, and you could go, there's a thread there, you can kind of see all the little background information. I don't want to waste time on the show doing that. But I got to say that, you know, being your partner, John, honest to God truth, all kidding aside, all BS aside, has absolutely been a real joy for me. I mean,
you are lying through your teeth, my friend.
No, I'm not. No, I mean, I say this from the bottom of my heart. You know, I love you as a brother. You know, I feel extremely close, have a real bond with you. You've brought out the best part of Dave Rabbit, and I can't thank you enough for everything you've done for me.
Well, thank you. And I would just like to say that because of you and our partnership, which is a lot like a marriage, I have now learned how to wield a 2x4 very well.
Yeah. As long as you don't wear that nightcap to bed, we'll be okay. And in honor of that, I want to just show everybody exactly how the year has gone for Johnny and I. This is something we just recently had done with Charlotte King, but this is the kind of stuff that Johnny absolutely wants to kill me 99% of the time when we do. So let's take a listen to it.
I got to tell you, you blew me away when you started talking about Columbia and then the little regional town that was outside of Bogota. In Colombia, mm-hmm. by the name of Ibagué, because my family and I have been to, we lived in Bogota for a number of years, and then we also visited Ibagué quite often. So it was the first time in 30-some-odd years that I had heard the term Ibagué come up, and I'm going, holy mackerel, how would she know about this little tiny area called Ibagué? And
but you know they say that a lot in San Francisco, right?
So that was a... So that was a... I got a 2x4 with your name on it,
right?
Dave.
Is that right next to Hebe Gay?
You know, my very first job was answering phones and radio stations.
Was that really?
And I was 13 years old.
Sorry. I am so sorry.
Sort of like the Enola Gay, right?
That's right. I was so flustered by you, Dave Rabbit.
I know, but the funny thing about it is that that is the first time in a year and almost approaching 100 shows that you're speechless.
I know. Hard to believe, isn't it?
It is. So with that, here is the show.
This is ATS Mix.
What? Whoa, what am I hearing?
What is this?
From AboveTopSecret.com.
Oh, crap!
Here are your anomalous sightings
from around the world.
This is Tamaril from GodBoxCafe.com with sightings from across Canada. So many sightings, so little time. At 1:11 in the afternoon on May 24th, a man and his wife were traveling by car under clear blue skies, heading east along Mainway in Burlington, Ontario, when he noticed something in the air just to the north of their vehicle. It caught his eye as it was large and hovering at low altitude. They both assumed at first that it was a blimp, but a metallic shimmer as it turned and sped off at incredible speed ruled out that explanation. They pulled into a side street to get out of the car and observe more closely. The object flew off at a high elevation to the northeast, then stopped, hovered for a few seconds, and streaked across the sky westward out of view. 5 minutes later, driving towards Toronto, they spotted the same object over Oakville, again low and hovering directly in front of their car above the QEW, the same shimmering light across the surface evident before it slowly moved across the couple's path, accelerated and rocketed out of view again. Between Burlington and Toronto, the same object was seen by them both, twice more, with the same erratic hovering and flight patterns. The witnesses were sure that the other people traveling the same route saw these objects as well. In Parksville, BC, between 11 p.m. and 3:30 a.m. on May 24th, a witness was lying outside stargazing when what appeared to be a satellite crossed the field of view. The observer watched it stop and change direction behind some clouds, and in scanning for this object beyond the cloud cover, at least four of the objects were in plain sight. The witness woke a daughter to get another pair of eyes focused on the event, and in pointing out one of the objects to her, it proceeded to peel in the opposite direction at high altitude, stop, then zigzag, forming some type of figures through its movements. The observer then found seven college-age boys from Victoria to verify the sightings, and they unilaterally agreed that these were objects created by technology not made known to the public as yet. The next night, they were prominent in the sky as well, but since then, the cloud cover has masked further reporting possibilities. This is Tamaril from Godbox Cafe, keeping my eyes to the skies for AboveTopSecret.com.
These are the reported sightings over the United States. This is David C. In Southern California, five lights were observed toward the north and the east. These five lights were in what appeared to be a fixed position, directly vertical to the viewer, off by a degree or two, perhaps. The observer stated, "They were far too large to be stars, and far larger than Venus. There was no noise to report either. I heard only the environment around me. The airport was closed at this hour." Two objects suddenly moved off to the north, so fast that they were gone from view toward L.A. County in a matter of seconds. I continued to watch the three that remained. They moved slightly, giving me a chance to try to triangulate the distance and estimate the height. I can only say the height was likely 10,000 feet above me at minimum. I had better than a 20/15 vision at the time. The two lights returned to join the three. They then moved in a line together in one direction, and then very suddenly changed direction, moving towards San Bernardino County. I could see well past Saddleback Mountain on this evening, and they moved towards San Bernardino from the left of Saddleback's Peak from my vantage point. The acceleration was slow when they started, moved to a point at a different angle, perhaps towards Anaheim, then changed direction, and then within a second and a half at most had moved out of San Bernardino and were gone from view. I watched them move 60 to 100 miles in a matter of 2 seconds. At no time can I recall their changing size or color, and they seemed to me to maintain the altitude when present above me. The movement toward Anaheim seemed to be slightly upward, at a speed of several hundred miles an hour apparently, and the movement toward San Bernardino at an extreme high speed also seemed as though they were again gaining altitude. I informed the sheriff's office at the time, and approximately 1 week later read a report in the L.A. Times that both the Orange County and LAX runways had reported the sightings. Two runway attendants at LAX also reported it. This is David C., reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
A-T-S Mix Featured Interview.
Well, Dave, we've got ourselves today on our ATS Mix special interview segment, Mr. Stuart Swerdlow. He's an author and clairvoyant who has the ability to see auric fields as well as read DNA sequences and mind patterns. He spent many years in service to various U.S. and foreign government agencies and special interest groups. His mind and body were used for genetic and mind control experiments, which led to severe illnesses, broken relationships, and premature Kundalini activation. His mission is to help others heal themselves in a positive way, thus avoiding the negativity that he personally has experienced. His most recent book that he's authored is entitled 13 Cube, and at this time, the ATS Mix is happy to have with us on the show, Mr. Stuart Swerdlow. Hi, Stuart. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing? great.
Hey, Stu, good to see you, man. How you been? How's your sister? Everybody going all right?
Yeah, well, it's been pretty busy, but we're holding on.
Well, good. Listen, you know, before we get started, I mean, we got a buttload of questions to ask you, Stuart. You know, this is our second go-around with you, which is nice, but, you know, we had to go through that pat-down that Janet does before she'd even let us talk to you this time. What's the deal with, what's the deal with that? I mean, are you got threats against you or something?
Well, that's standard for me, but, you know, I get phone calls all the time from people who just want to talk to me or they just want to speak to me for 5 minutes, and I get, you know, several hundred a day, so we
do
have
you
to
really?
Be very selective.
Oh, do
yeah.
you really?
Oh, I get at least 400 emails a day.
Wow.
And then several, you know, many phone calls every day.
What I mean, what do they say when they call you up? I mean,
well, if it's my mother, it's very threatening.
I love it. I love
it. I don't answer her phone calls, but, you know, thank God for a caller ID. But there are people who really, they just want to talk to you about this or that or the other thing, and sometimes they're pretty nasty, too.
Are they really?
Gee, oh,
I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm so sorry about that. I mean, you know, people just have no sense of humor, Stuart. You know what I mean?
I know. But, right. You know, when you deal with the public, yeah, there's always a few out there.
Yeah, well, Johnny and I have been doing that for almost a year now, so we can definitely identify. All right, let's get to it. You know, the first thing I got, you know, the Johninator always does his masterful intros and all these introductions of our guests and stuff, and he's really, really very good at it. But I got to ask you, you know, I mean, I've had a lot of premature things in my life. None of them was called Kundalini. Now, but before you answer what Kundalini is, I have to ask you, is she any kin to Kundalini Rice?
Well, I have another name for that one, but I can't say it on the radio.
Ah, okay. Very good. We'll fill in the blanks. What is Kundalini activation? I mean,
well, let me explain. Kundalini activation actually, yes, is when every chakra is opened simultaneously in sequence. So from the root chakra all the way up to the pineal, up to the crown chakra, they just fling open, and then that can throw you into the observation of many realities simultaneously without being focused in any one of them. So if it occurs prematurely or artificially and you're not ready for that particular event, it can be very damaging.
Not to sound stupid, but wait a minute. I'm sorry, Johnny.
Yeah,
but not to sound stupid. What do you call it? Chakra?
Chakra.
Chakra. What the hell is chakra?
Now, you guys just shouldn't have to get out more often, I'll tell you.
I don't get out. John doesn't let me out very often.
You're only speaking to half this group now, Stuart. The other half does get out quite a bit. And
I'm
does
sure
a lot
he
of
knows
research.
What chakra is, but tell me and the other dummies that don't know
all
what
right.
chakra is, what it is.
Well, I'm sure your listeners are quite intelligent.
Oh, I'm sure they
now,
are, too.
The chakras are biologically, they are nerve ganglions or bundles of nerves that come together at various points in the body, and where they come together, they produce an electromagnetic energy in a particular color that animates or has a function for that section of the body. And human beings have 7 main chakra centers, and there are peripheral ones that go off the main ones, but the main ones are what I deal with. It's like your soul personality is buttoned into your body via the chakras.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then Dave has a third question.
Okay.
What's a gang-along?
You need to go downtown Chicago to see that.
But I'm bumped.
I love that.
He'll be here all week, folks. Stuart Swervo.
Is that the one where you hold a $20 bill out of the window and cruise down 35th?
It's ganglion, G-A-N-G-L-I-O-N.
Okay, what's
ganglion,
that?
Ganglion, it's bundles of nerves, which is probably what you are at this point.
And he's being very nice to you, Dave.
He's being very nice. I like that.
Maybe we should go into comedy. I don't know. Hyperspace comedy.
Yeah, we thought about it. But, yeah, I mean, the reason why I asked Stuart, I mean, I'm not trying to play the dummy role, even though Johnny will,
I love
me.
That role you
but
play.
But that would be natural for you.
I know, but you know, I have to assume that there's at least one other person on Planet X that doesn't know what the hell you're talking about. So if I don't ask, then all these people are going, well, what the hell's a ganglion, Gladys? Well, I don't know. Dave doesn't ask. So that's why I asked, okay?
Just no
for
problem.
The yeah, there's probably one or two members that don't know what the hell you're talking about. Okay, well, anyway, so I got all that. Okay, John, now with the serious stuff.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, we know that you've got some special events that are planned, and I thought before we start getting into some of our member questions from AboveTopSecret.com, we'd let you go ahead and tell all the members and our listeners alike some of these special events you have planned. In fact, one in particular, well, you've got two that I'm thinking of, but coming up first off, I believe you and Janet are going to be heading over to France pretty soon. Is that not correct?
That's correct. We're going to France and Spain and then England. And the tour is on our site, expansions.com. There's actually, depending on when this is aired, sometime to, if you actually sign up for it, because there are a couple of seats left on the tour bus, we'll be going from Paris to Barcelona. And en route, we will be looking at the anomalies of southern France, the Magdalene lineage, or in the Chateau, the Boucara caves, many other locations that people aren't aware of that in history was actually an ancient Hebrew kingdom. When Mary Magdalene and the children she had from Emmanuel, or Christ, actually left the ancient Israel and went across the Mediterranean to the south of France and created an Hebrew kingdom there. And we will be going through those areas and looking at the history and getting information that is not available in books or anywhere else, only on this tour.
Well, I have a question. You know, this bus, well, do you have it, you know, like stocked with, you know, like, you know, poles and wine and, you know,
oh, yeah, Pinot Noir, and you name it. Are you kidding? It's my bus.
So it's a wine bus, in other words.
Absolutely. Well, there's the W-I-N-E, and then there's the W-H-I-N-E, which is what I will
do. The Hwine bus. Yeah, that's the bus that Johnny and I take, the Hwine bus.
Well, I told you should come along.
Well, you know, I'd love to, you know. Bunny doesn't, you know, she wouldn't allow me to go outside of the Dallas area. She's afraid, you know, somebody will snatch me up.
Well, you're no big deal.
I know. That's what I keep telling her. Well, yeah, she can tell you that for sure, too. But that's another story. Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum.
Anyway. Well, see, well, you were too slow, John. I already did.
I know. Go for it.
Go ahead.
You have another event, and I believe that'll probably be happening in July. In fact, this actually kind of has sparked a lot of interest in my mind, and I'm actually very intrigued with this event that's going on. Tell everybody what's going to be happening in South America.
Okay, we will be going at the end of July into the first part of August to Bolivia. We'll be arriving in La Paz, which is the capital of Bolivia. It's the highest capital on the earth at 13,000 feet up. And we will be taking interesting trips to various locations that are not seen by the general public, including what is called by the locals as an underground UFO base that has not been visited by anyone yet so far from North America. And I will be taking a group there with a local friend of mine who lives there and knows the area, and we will be seeing what is underground there.
What are you trying to find there, sir?
Well, I'm not sure what we're going to find, but it's definitely going to be very mysterious. We're also going to be meeting with local tribes, people in the area, and who will be telling us what they have observed. This is information that you are not going to be able to find anywhere else. It's not written about. It's not publicized anywhere.
Right.
There's unfortunately a lot I can't say before we go because of security reasons.
Sure.
But I will tell you that it's going to be the most amazing trip ever. I'm excited about it, and nothing gets me too excited these days.
Well, can people sign up for that one also, or just just the first one?
Well, I'm getting a lot of sign-ups right now, so I would suggest anyone who is interested in going to the Bolivia trip to please go to expansions.com, read the information, and then sign up for your spot, because it is starting to fill up. I'm getting a lot of sign-ups on that trip.
How long a trip is it?
It's really only 8 days. It's a very
short
trip, yeah.
Wow.
Because we're going to hit all the spots, boom, boom, boom. We're going to be in four-wheel drive Jeeps. We'll be going with the tour guides to various locations. We'll also go to ancient Inca locations, getting information that isn't in the historical books. It's going to be quite amazing. And I am hoping to make a documentary out of it that can be seen by everybody once we get back.
you mentioned that it was going to be 8 days. Of course, this isn't taken into account. Of course, this is going to be where Johnny makes his attempt at humor. Unless there is a bit of missing time that happens while you're on this little trip.
Well, you know, with me, everything's possible. You know, anyone who's ever taken a trip with me knows it's not standard or conventional. Like, for example, the trip I took to the Philippines in 1999, when we went to the island of Mindanao and visited the green crystal from Lemuria that was deep, deep in the jungle and protected by a very local cannibalistic tribe. I wrote about that in my Blue Blood book. That was quite an event. American Express Travel Agency doesn't like to book my tours.
I bet. Now, I'm just curious, how on earth would you have found out? Would this have been from an insider or something about the green crystal? How do you get your information about interesting,
well,
intriguing,
you know,
things like that?
I have contacts pretty much in almost every country in the world. And this particular one, there was a military guy who was stationed there from Vietnam days, and he basically stayed in the jungle there, married a local woman, communicated through a Catholic priest in Manila to a contact of mine in Switzerland who told me about it, and then I took a group there. Quite honestly, I don't think after we left, I don't think they ever allowed anyone back in. And you can read why in Blue Blood, because it was quite an experience, quite an event happened there at the time. Now, I don't mean to scare anybody away. I don't expect that anything negative to happen in France or Bolivia. In fact, it should be quite exciting.
All right. Well, listen, you know, you mentioned about the Vietnam guy being in the jungle and stuff. Mm-hmm. So is he still there, to your knowledge?
As far as I know, he's still there.
Did you have conversations with him?
Of course. I stayed at his house.
Okay, so what did you gather from him, the reason why he was more comfortable in that environment?
Well, you know, that goes back into intelligence services and that kind of information.
Right.
He was there to monitor what was going on in the Mindanao region, both because there were guerrillas, Muslim terrorists in the region. Back the day we left, two tourists were beheaded.
Oh, jeez.
So there's a lot going on.
Not anybody in your party, was it?
Yeah, I was just going to ask.
No.
Because that made the minutes for everybody signing up, you know?
I counted all the heads. They were there. Not
but
all
cats,
but they were all there.
Wow. Gee, yeah. You're serious. You're serious about this. Somebody beheaded two tourists?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And, of course, it's very well known that people are kidnapped in that area and sometimes never seen again.
Jeez.
I won't go back there.
Yeah. Without everybody signing a waiver first. You were talking about the crystals there and that there is, I guess, some agenda to keep some control over these. I'm just curious, to your knowledge, how many crystals are out there, and what is the power that they have that seems to intrigue everybody? And is there really an agenda to try to gather them all up? There's a big interest, you know, right now, especially with the Indiana Jones movie and everything out.
Right.
Now, you're not referring to the crystal skulls, are you?
Well, I guess I'm alluding to that right now, yeah.
Well, the crystal skulls, actually, when we are in Paris, one of the things we're doing is going to visit a crystal skull that is on display there and do some kind of work with it there. So that is something extra that is not even listed on the website itinerary. We are doing an extra event. We will be visiting a crystal skull in Paris.
Cool.
But the other ones, these green crystals that have been located across the Pacific region, have a Lemurian identity or background. The natives claim that those crystals are 40,000 years old,
right,
and that they have at least two of them in their possession, and that they are secreted in various locations around the Pacific. No one knows exactly how many there are because they're not publicly displayed.
Hmm. All right, let me ask you a question. The Montauk Project, is that still active, Stuart, to your knowledge?
No, that ended in 1983. Now, there are other projects similar to that in other locations that are ongoing. But the Montauk Project itself was from 1970 to 1983.
Okay.
Now, subsequent to that, they still have the underground base there, but it is doing mostly weather testing, weaponry testing, that kind of thing.
It was purported at one time that they were dabbling with possibly building a time rift or some type of vortex in time. Did you ever hear anything like that?
Well, that's what the Montauk Project was about, for the most part.
Oh, so it wasn't just mind control?
No, it was a genetic manipulation, it was programming and mind control, it was creating stargates or vortices in between dimensions, and creating wormholes to other locations within this galaxy. So there was many different projects going on at the same time there.
Hmm. Because of the experimentation that they did on you when you were younger and then throughout your younger adult life, do you still have and suffer repercussions like you did?
You mean as far as the government is concerned or physically?
All right. Well, how about both?
Well, you know, the government is not kind to me.
Right.
They bash me whenever they can, and I'm kind of just used to that. I don't let it bother me. I don't let it stop me from doing anything. You know, people call me or email me and tell me, oh, I don't want to talk on the phone, or I don't want to say this and this. And I have to remind people, they have devices that can read your mind. So what are you going to hide unless you stop thinking altogether?
Right.
It doesn't pay to live in the closet. Just do what you got to do, and don't be afraid of anything. Physically, you know, I was blind for 29 years. I had that corrected in 1999, and my eyesight is very good now, but my eyes get very tired and irritated easily. I don't sleep hardly at all. I can't sleep, really. You know, when you go into hyperspace, when you're trained like that, it doesn't matter if your eyes are open or closed, you're always in hyperspace. So when I try to go to sleep or close my eyes, I'm working. I'm still doing work.
Right.
So I can't rest like other people rest. So those are repercussions. I also used to have a lot of internal bleeding from the microwave activity that scarred my lower intestinal tract. That's 90% better. So there are things that still are residual in my life, but I certainly don't dwell on them, and I just keep going forward doing what I have to do.
I'm just curious, with what they did on you, and probably others that I'm sure that were in the project also, do you feel that there is now a more mass-related experiment going on that obviously that we are unaware with, and we're getting bombarded whether we want to or not? It's happening to us.
Oh, absolutely, and that's why I wrote my 13Q book, and also one of the other ones on programming, True Reality of Sexuality. 24/7, the Earth is bombarded with ELF, microwave, scalar waves to control the thought processes, to control functions and activities of people globally. It's 100% now. There's not anyone on the Earth who is not programmed to one degree or another. And most people have no idea, not a clue, that they are being programmed. It all could happen while you're all going to work, while you're, you know, in the shower. It's beamed from satellites, from cell towers. It just piggybacks your brain waves, and you might think it's your own thought when, in fact, it's being imposed on you.
Hmm.
And that's why I teach my deprogramming techniques, my protection techniques, and release work.
Our members at AboveTopSecret.com are, as you said, are alluded to earlier when I was playing the dummy, the Jerry Lewis to his Dean Martin scenario when I was asking you all these dumb questions. But our members are smart, and that's what I love about our website at AboveTopSecret.com. We can read intelligent questions to our guests. So we're going to start, and the first guy is John. You may have transposed it. I think it's Herbal
no,
oil.
No, it is O-L-I.
Oh,
so
it is.
I think it's Ollie.
Herbal Ollie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although I can see how the subject matter would probably have thrown you off, which you'll find out, Stuart, as we talk amongst ourselves. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes,
sorry.
I am in the room.
Yeah,
that's
well,
right.
You know, so you play like we're not here there, Stuart.
Anyway, very easy to do.
Thank you. If Janet had herbal Oli, in my view, Stuart, marijuana enhances brain alpha wave activity. You've mentioned that the government uses marijuana as a trigger for mind control. If that's true, Stuart, then why don't they just legalize it?
Well, that's a very simple answer to that. They're not going to legalize something that will give control of mind control and programming to the public. So obviously, they allow a certain amount into the public in order to trigger them and open up the brain and the waves so that programming can be enhanced. Very often, especially in the early days when they actually did programming sessions rather than the satellite transmissions, in those early days, they used all kinds of narcotics, drugs, alcohol, you name it, injections of all kinds of material that would alter the body energies, brain waves, so that you would go into another state of mind, open up the brain, and then they can input whatever it was they needed to have done. They also, of course, use sexuality, bringing the person to a pre-orgasmic state, open up the mind so that programming can be put in or out. So all of that's why there's pornography out there blasted all over the public, because that triggers the programming into an activation.
Really?
Yes. And in
John,
fact,
you're going to have to watch it then.
Well, not only that, but they can absorb. They have equipment that can actually download sexual energy, store it, and then broadcast it via satellite and amplify it in order to activate particular programs.
Wait a minute. You know, I got to do a sidebar here. Sorry, John. So you're saying that if they're they can do mind control using pornography, and that if the right trigger is done, then what, our porno waves are going to hit the airwaves or something?
Well, they do that every day. I mean, the biggest internet sites out there are pornography sites. And, you know, in most of the rest of the world, not in North America so much, but in most of the rest of the world, you can see that on ordinary television. You know, in Britain and parts of, in most of Europe, the newspapers have topless women and all kinds of things right on the front page. It's not a big deal. It's standard procedure.
Well, you should have been at my house yesterday then.
Well, what happened then?
Oh, I can't tell you on the radio.
Well, don't tease me like that and then
I'll tell you off here.
All right, fine.
All right, so what you're saying, Stuart, basically is that the Mata Hari, per se, has been replaced by internet porn.
Well, that's one aspect of it. You know, it's not just the porn industry, it's the drug industry, it's the pharmaceutical industry. Why do you think they push Cialis and Viagra, all those sexual enhancement drugs that you can just buy, you know, over the counter online? It's because it will trigger the sexual ritual programming, the monarch programming, that gives off a very intense energy that they can then download and amplify and use elsewhere. Human beings are like a power source that can be used for various purposes.
Well, you know you've hit on my hot button. You
Uh-oh.
Know that, right?
Uh-oh.
So if we're being mind controlled by these nuts at Cialis and Viagra, you know, I get the point. You know, I don't need to see it when I'm watching Bambi on the Disney Channel. I got it.
And your listeners should know that Viagra and Cialis have a very high rate of causing blood vessels to burst in the eyes, causing permanent blindness.
Wow. I never saw anything on that. You mean to tell me they're promoting all this stuff, and then now you're talking that it's blood-oriented, too? I guess it is.
It increases the flow of blood, not just in the lower parts, but in all parts.
Right.
And so if you have weak capillaries in your eyes, they will pop. And
God, I never thought about that.
So the old wives' tale that if you do it enough times, you'll go blind is true. Sorry.
Well, I'm living proof of that. I was blind for 29 years.
And now he can see again.
The thing that kills me the most when I watch these ads is then in very small print down below, you know, where they put the disclaimer at. Lately, I've been seeing this little thing, may increase gambling activity. I'm going, what?
What? Wait a minute.
You haven't seen that?
How does that increase gambling?
If you read the side effects, the drug is more damaging than whatever illness you have.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I'm just sick of seeing it on TV every 5 minutes. You know, it's ridiculous. I got the point. I get the message, you know? I know it's there, okay? Stop it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm tired of it. Stop it. Okay, John. Next question.
All right. We have another member by the name of Synthesis, and he actually has a couple of questions here. He says, okay. I am curious, Stuart, as to what you might reveal about the recent confirmation of dark matter in our cosmos. Is this part of a Stargate technology, and how can we traverse through the universe?
Well, that's a big question over there. Well, you know, a couple of years ago, there was a big article or story on CNN Science, which said that the scientists had determined that when they measured the amount of energy in our galaxy, it was 20 times more than what should be there. If they put all the physical energy together, they still came up with 20 times the amount of that. So they determined, you know, they could have just come to my seminar and I would have told them, but they determined that that came from alternate realities that coexisted with this one, and that's where all the other energy came from. So basically, confirming about simultaneous existences, parallel universes, that kind of thing.
Right.
So that is really what's out there. Now, when we look at black holes and we look at stars, and I have this in my DVD on simultaneous existence, a black hole in one universe is a star in an alternate universe and vice versa. That is how energy is maintained and balanced between parallel universes. That's why black holes suck in energy and stars push energy out. That's how there is like a breathing of energy in between all alternate realities. So I don't know if I answered the questions or not.
Wow.
That's interesting. Where my mind went.
Yes. And I hope that answered Synthesis' question. He has a second follow-up question.
But there's an extra charge for a follow-up.
That's right. He says, Stuart, I also, at 5:02 a.m. quite often, have sleep disruptions in the early morning hours, and my mind is just ablaze. I am a very creative person. I compose music and write it. I do not have ringing of the ears, but I do experience vibrations and tones at times. Are these vibrations a part of mind control? Are we able to tune in with these vibrations of others or of a collective consciousness?
Well, the answer is all of the above, depending on your particular situation. But I do tell people, and this is in my books, that between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. in every time zone globally, that is when the most intense ELF mind control waves are projected out from satellites and cell towers under the assumption that the greatest percentage of the population will be asleep and able to download this in their sleep state. And then what happens is when the programming is completed, you either wake up or you have a nightmare or something changes in your conscious state so that you can then reset and download what you just received.
Wow. All right. Spartan King Leonidas is a member at AboveTopSecret.com, and he says, why is it, Stuart, that there has been a trend towards superhero movies recently in the media, movies, TV shows, etc.? Does this involve the process of programming through mass mind control? And if it is, who is behind it and his agenda to push everyone into the superhero mode without thought of action, etc.?
Well, again, a very large question that I actually have an entire chapter in my books about that. That's part of what they call Superman programming. And what that is are people who are programmed to believe that they have superhuman powers so that when, for example, a staged alien invasion occurs or the New World religion is imposed or whatever the sequence is that's being activated, those people then go into their Superman altar and perform functions that are considered to be superhuman in order to prove that whatever sequence is happening is valid. So you might have people who can bend spoons, you might have people who can lift cars. There's so many different types of Superman programming, and that's what these movies are attempting to do, to trigger the people out there with this particular brand of programming.
And I've wondered what was part of your alter ego of being Super Rabbit there, Dave.
I'm not sure. You know, I do wake up about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, but it's, you know, just to go in the bathroom. That's about it.
Yeah, but see, that's just it, because the act of waking up to go to the bathroom resets or downloads the program, because then you go from the sleep state to the waking state, and it's like it's switched, and then you download the program.
All right, sidebar. Do you think dreams, Stuart, honestly, do you think dreams sometimes are what is being programmed into us, as opposed to, you know, just regular dream states?
Well, interestingly, on another radio show, I have a biweekly dream segment where I talk about this. And the dream segments are either what I call oversoul or programming. There are two different kinds of dream. Oversoul dreaming, meaning that it is a status report of your life at the moment, which everyone has to do while they're in the dream state. And programming dreams are literally cycling through your programming matrix, opening up certain alter groups, whatever it happens to be for you. So yes, dreams are a very big clue to the type of programming that you have, what is being activated in either in your particular area or even globally at the moment.
Okay, then that leads me to my next question. Is there any way that I can possibly be programmed by somebody, I don't care who it is, that every time I dream, it's me and Marissa Tomei?
Well, wasn't that a segment on Seinfeld?
I don't care about Jerry Seinfeld. I'm talking
about... You have Seinfeld programming.
Oh, is that what it is? Is that what it's called? I love Marissa Tomei.
Well, you know, I write about this in my books, too. There are what we call programming icons, you know, like Britney Spears and Madonna and Michael Jackson, very well-known, famous people in the media who, by seeing them, hearing them, even reading about them, it triggers a particular brand or type of programming that icon represents. So, yes, there are Hollywood people, singers, actors, whatever, who represent a programming icon, and by having them out in public, they are triggering massive groups of people into particular functions.
Well, I can't tell you mine on the air, but she does something for me.
Well, it seems like you have a lot of private things to tell me.
Yeah, we'll talk about all these off-air stories. If Janet will let us come out, if she'll let you come out and play, that is, you know.
Well, I'm still locked in the basement. I haven't been out yet.
Okay. We're good.
Another member by the name of Keen Crass asked this question. Why is it that every single person, Stuart, who claims to have had contact with alien beings have mentioned somewhere along the line about the damage to our environment, humanity being inhuman to humanity, etc. But never do they seem to mention reptilian shape-shifting hybrids or the possession by an astral reptilian type-like being. Why do they not talk about them? Why is this?
Well, isn't that interesting? And that's a very good observation. The reason is that they talk about all of these global environmental issues is part of programming. It's what we're seeing happening now with the scam of global warming, where they want the public to demand that the governments do something to correct the situation before the Earth is destroyed. And in so doing, the governments can then impose rules and regulations, taxes, you name it, that will, I put in quote, help the environment, unquote, and at the same time manipulate people into a world that shouldn't exist. The reason you don't hear about reptilians is because they're not going to tell people who they are.
Yeah, duh. All right.
Yeah.
Trust Me, I Know. Now, isn't that a great member name? I love that name. Trust Me, I Know. Okay. Stuart.
That sounds like my mother.
My mother-in-law. Trust Me, I Know, says Stuart. Your literature seems to be overly complex and intricate. That's what I say all the time, folks. Especially in regards to mind control, terminology, and symbolism, and seems to imply an authoritative stance on the subject that discourages any rational discourse. Could it be possible that the very nature of public media is more concerned with creating an identification with the individual to generalize content and thusly
help to discourage the individual from personal experience slash thoughts that do not correlate with the norm. Now, I got one question.
That was a mouthful.
What the hell is he talking about?
Now, that's complicated. My stuff is easy to read compared to that.
Well, hell, I mean, I got confused reading it.
I lost you at the first sentence.
You had me. I thought you said you had me at hello.
Well, actually, I haven't paid attention to you since we got on the
All right. That's good. That's good. That's five for you so far on this show. We're going to have to do another show after this.
Well, okay, you know what? I'll tell you what. The next member asked almost a similar question, so why don't we kind of combine these two?
Oh, thank God.
All right. Well, Memory Shock seems to kind of agree with – he probably read that post and said, you know what? I agree. And he says, I, too – think that the material you present, Stuart, to be rather overly complex, and because of the subject matter itself being mind control, I want to know if you possibly are using programming knowledge on others while you are promoting yourself.
Well, shoot the messenger. Isn't that always the case?
I love shoot the messenger. Wasn't that in the movie?
You know, if you don't understand something, then smack the person who said it.
That's right.
Well, I wish I had the power to program people, because I'd be programming this world very differently than it is now. You can trust yourself on that one.
Right.
But no, I unfortunately am not programming people. I'm trying to deprogram people. And I felt that all the information I present is as simple as it possibly can be. But, you know, when you're talking about situations that are complex, unfortunately, you have to describe it in the way it's presented. So I think I have simplified it as best I can. And certainly, if there are people out there that can want to simplify it even further, please be my guest to do so. You know, I try my best to present the things as they are. What I think is complex out there is what we're hearing out about the Democratic Party situation and the political. To me, that's like Swahili. I don't understand what the heck's going on with that.
And I'm sure a lot would agree with you there.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. Well, I mean, you know, before I do, I'm a Marty. Our membership at AboveTopSecret.com, these guys are so into all this stuff. I mean, they live and breathe this thing. And when they sit there and say that what you're saying is complex, I'm going, well, hell, what chance does the Davester have, you know, if the membership is having problems deciphering it? But, I mean, it's such a heavy topic. I don't know how you could simplify it any more than you've done, Stuart.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that, because I felt I did the best I can to present it in a way that the public can understand. And yes, of course, there may be deprogramming techniques that might seem a little bit complicated, but I present it with steps, you know, one after the other, so kind of like a recipe where you just take the ingredients and do one thing after another. But, you know, if they can simplify it further, please go right ahead and do so.
All right, I'm a Marty. I'm a Marty, you're a Marty, wouldn't you like to be a Marty, too?
Send those U2s to Dave Rabbit.
Johnny, at you.
Don't give up your day job.
There you go.
Hey, this is my day job. Stuart,
thing.
Yeah, Stuart, in one of your books, you stated that you worked in a psychiatric ward, I believe. What was your role there? Are there connections to programmed individuals based on trauma from real hurt as a child to specifically traumatized for programming purposes?
Now, you see how things get twisted around. I worked as a developmental specialist in a mental health clinic, not in a psych ward, although there were days where it was like a psych ward, I'll tell you. Now, my specialty was seniors, meaning the clients that I had, they didn't call them patients, they called them clients, were duly diagnosed and elderly. They were past, elderly was considered in that clinic past 50. And they had both.
We're doomed, Dave, we're doomed.
We started out doomed.
I'm getting letters from ARP, okay?
Okay.
Now, the thing is, what I did there, and I won't name the clinic because they're still in operation, I worked with my hyperspace colors and symbols and techniques to help these people. And it worked very well. But stupidly, I would make notations in their books, their record, about what I did, or about what my opinions were about what the conventional methods were doing. And I can't tell you how many times I was called into the main office with their record saying, you need to cross this out and initial it and put this in instead. You cannot write this in the books.
Hmm.
And you know, after a while of that, I said, you know, I can't do this because it's wrong. I can't lie about what these people need and about what's going on. So I quit. And that's when I started going into this work here on my own that I do.
Right.
Wow.
Because the answer to the mental issues out there is drug, drug, drug.
Right.
I can't tell you how many meetings I would have, quarterly meetings with every patient, with the state and their doctors and what have you. And the person would come in totally drugged. Their heads would be literally on the table. And the state would say, well, so-and-so is doing so much better. Let's continue this protocol.
Right.
And I would look. The person was unconscious.
Sure.
And that's how they handle problems. Just drug them till they can't speak. And that's the state of affairs.
You know what that kind of reminds me of, what you just got through saying, was the parrot sketch for Monty Python.
Uh-huh.
You know where he sits there and he taps a cage and he says the bloody bird's dead. He says, no, he's not. He's asleep. I mean, what you just got through saying just kind of – I don't know why I had that flash. It's funny.
Dave flashed to that, and what I flashed to was that I had just heard the other night on another radio program about someone who had called in complaining that while they were having heart problems and had been in the hospital numerous times, it would seem like the doctor would come in, look him over, ask how he was doing, and then he would prescribe a pill and then walk off. Then a nurse would come in and he goes, I really need to talk to the doctor about something. She goes, well, let me go find the doctor for you. The doctor would come back in and prescribe another pill. And this gentleman in the hospital says, you know, I'm now starting to think that maybe I may want to look at getting a shaman to come in and because they'll probably actually listen to me over what the doctor is just making his cameo appearance in.
Right, right. You know, I have clients who are doctors. And I have very strong connections to the medical community. And one of the things they teach them in medical school is to not spend more than 15 minutes with a patient.
Hmm.
Because then it becomes economically unfeasible for them to make any money.
Oh, my.
And, you know, my mother-in-law is a very ill woman. I gave her all kinds of herbs and vitamins to take. And, of course, she's a Southern Baptist, so she has to, you know, be very honest with her doctor. And she wrote a whole list of questions about the herbs and vitamins and about the medications that I questioned.
Right.
And so the doctor came in to see her, and she gave him the list of questions, and the only thing he said was, you asked too many questions, and he walked out the door.
Oh,
and that was the end of the appointment. So that's what's going on in the medical community. And the other joke, I have another client who is a director of a medical school in the Western United States. And she says that in the medical school, the joke is, hurry up and operate before the patient gets better.
Oh.
Because they know that the body can heal itself.
Sure.
But they don't want you to know that.
Right. Oh, man. We have one last question for you, Mr. Stewart. And it goes, I believe, I'm having trouble here, Dave. Is that Masroth?
Masroth, yeah.
All right. Masroth. Ask this. You know, Mr. Swerdlow, I have read and listened to a lot of your material, along with, of course, many others, with claims stating fantastic things. And I mean like Borish, Wiedner, Deagle, Farrell, Jim Mars, David Sarita, Bushman, just to mention a few. What I'd like to know is, why should we pay attention to your information and material being any more truthful?
Well, you don't have to. I give it to you, and you can take it or leave it. You know, I don't try to convince anybody of anything. I just tell you what I know, and you can do with it what you wish. Now, all those people that he mentioned, I have known most of them, and I will not comment on any of them, but I will tell you that I will honestly give you my work and tell you what I know, and you can do with it as you wish. So, you know, test it for yourself. Don't believe what I say. You go and find out for yourself.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I get so sick of people with these questions, Stuart. I mean, you know, obviously you're an author and stuff, and I'm sure you get your share of them. But, you know, I mean, really the bottom line is when people write books, even though I don't read, I at least acknowledge that people that are smart enough to write the books and stuff, they're giving their thoughts, their opinions. They're not trying to ram a philosophy down someone's throat or trying to get you to line up and march across the desert and off the cliff. You know, I mean, you either take what people say and you just take it for what it is. And like Stuart says, you either believe it or you don't, and you let it go with that. I mean, God, don't you just – didn't it just drive you crazy, Stuart, when people try to make you validate what you're saying?
You know, it's funny because I spoke to David Icke about that. He's a friend of mine. And I one day had a bad day, and I said to him, you know, all these people are writing in all this kind of harsh stuff and these negative comments. I said, what do you do about it? And he said to me, you know, that's why they put a delete button on the computer. You know, and it bothered me. You know, I have to tell you, it bothered me because I like to answer every single person. You know, if someone took the time to write into me, I consider that, and I say, you know, I look at that. But then there are people that no matter what you tell them, they want to argue with you.
Right.
Yeah. And so why are you asking the question if you don't want the answer?
Right. Sure.
That's my question to everybody out there.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's plenty of information out there, like I mentioned. You can go anywhere you like. If you don't like the food in this restaurant, go down the street.
Right.
Yeah, same concept. Listen, would you tell everybody about your website one more time, Stuart, for us, please? And again, recap what they can find on there about the trips and stuff?
Yes, my website is expansions.com. On there, you will find about the trip to France and Spain, the trip to Bolivia. And after that, in the middle of August, we are having an intensive seminar right here in Michigan, St. Joseph, Michigan, which will be the second weekend in August. It is a yearly event. This year will be even more spectacular than ever before. So go read about that and come join us.
Thank you, Stuart. Would you please keep us apprised of what you find? I, of course, myself, I personally am a little bit intrigued here by your event that you're going to be doing there in South America, searching for the underground UFO base. So I'm very anxious about that. So please keep me apprised of what's going on there. Will you please?
I absolutely will, and you know, if there's any way you can join us, come along with us.
And now it's time for a different view. This is the Skeptic Overview.
And once again, it is that pleasurable point in our time, and also in this show, when we bring forth one of the owners of the AboveTopSecret.com group. He is known as the Skeptic Overlord, and of course, to those that know him, it's Bill Irvin. Hi, Bill.
You're talking like the pleasure is mostly one-sided there.
You mean me? Sorry. I stole that line from Simon and Garfunkel, or what was those guys' names? Opie and Anthony, sorry.
Yeah, that's much different than Simon and Garfunkel.
I went blank for a minute, you know. All right, well, before we get into your show, you know, last week's show you talked about how the Jesse Ventura and then, of course, the Charlotte King thing has really gotten a lot of hits real early, that it really, you know, we had a significant one of our best weeks ever at AboveTopSecret.com. I'm just curious, what are the numbers since Jesse went up? Are they still hanging pretty good?
Oh, they're terrible. It's just,
yeah. No, you're lying.
Womp,
you're lying.
Womp, womp, womp.
So the past week is holding strong. And last weekend, as I mentioned, we just had phenomenal Saturday and Sunday. And if not for last Saturday and Sunday, this past Saturday and Sunday would have broken a weekend traffic record.
Really?
Yes, it's still holding very nice. Right? A lot of attention, a lot of traffic.
Well, because I noticed, and of course, here again, we always tell people that when they go to the AboveTopSecret.com and they look at the views are simply, the majority of them are probably guests that are going in there and checking things out, or anonymous people that on the site. Because most people that are part of the 23 million plus that we have on the ATS Mix show and the Above Politics show and the BTS Mix show are on feeds, and people are subscribed to it and whatever, and they may not even actually even go on the site. So with that thought in mind that we're talking about, you know, just people that happen to be there and checking us out and listening, you know, the Charlotte King is up to 1,603 days, basically. Jesse Ventura just popped over 5,400. These views are strictly people that are just there on the site, or, you know, and the majority of them are guests or new people coming in or whatever. But it's been pretty phenomenal numbers, Bill. It really has been.
Yeah, more than 95% of all the people who listen to these podcasts, actually probably closer to 98%, never actually visit the thread, that the podcast thread on the site. They're, as you said, they're either subscribing in feeds or playing it through the ATS Mix player, or just clicking directly through from some of the emails that go out.
Right. All right, well, I know you've got some exciting things. It's been an exciting week, so tell us what you got on the Skeptic Overview show today.
I was going to say, this week was a bizarre week. I don't know if it was the heat was getting to people, but we've had we've had some weird threads, and
to say the least.
I'm a little disappointed in some of the threads that have been started by our members that got the upper tier of attention. So we're going to talk about a few, and then I'm going to mention something that just broke in the conspiracy theory world that hasn't yet got attention on ATS, and maybe that might spark some discussion. But I'm just going to brush through some of the threads, and as I read through these, you'll realize why I made that comment, where it's been, I think, you know, most of the country got over 80 degrees and some places over 90 degrees this week, and I think the heat was just a little too much for some people. The number one most popular thread, started by All Natural, 395 replies, started on June 5th, I am ready for ascension, are you? Well, this one begins out, he starts, this planet and all species of life on the planet are in a process of ascension. Ascension means that all first and second dimensional life forms will move up to third dimensional life forms. Humans or third dimensional life forms will graduate to either fourth dimensional worlds or fifth dimensional oneness, depending on their level of evolution and their intent. So apparently we need to have a scorecard, because apparently there's some really complicated math involved in how we're going to ascend. Interesting thread.
I'm curious if the rabbit ascends, is it really ascending or is it descending?
It's smart. we're just hoping that it's something other than what he is now.
Oh, Christ. Yes. All right. Continue, Skeptic.
Another one, 350 replies now. Actually, the thread is now closed. Began by Boulder MD, someone who joined just to initiate the thread. Interesting character in my ER has me spooked. And I'm sure you guys are aware of
this. Oh, yeah. That was a cool one.
It's an interesting thread, to say the least, where to summarize a rather lengthy opening post and ongoing discussion, this person claims to be a doctor in a Boulder, Colorado hospital, ER doctor. And a accident victim came in, and through questions and through weird stuff that this guy was saying, going in and out of consciousness, it became clear that he was some kind of spook or MK Ultra person whose handlers were killed in the crash. And this guy is now in the wild saying weird things in the ER. That's a good summary, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, yeah. But only when he was hot. He feels hot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The heat thing had something to do with it, I think. Triggered it.
Right. Well, it's probably, who knows? It's fever or something from the MK Ultra drugs. But anyway, that went on, and it went back and forth in quite a few directions. A couple members uncovered reason to believe it was most likely a hoax, but then the author of the thread held strong with his story and came back with some credible things that he posted that began to bring the story back into reality, and then it started going crazy again. And just to make sure that we didn't go too out there with members trying to dig too deeply into who these people may be and actually harass the wrong people in real life, we sort of shut down the thread and prevented it, took out some personal information that was posted. Because, I mean, this is an incredible story, and rightly or wrongly, some very curious members started to dig deep into the story. And we do have one or two staffers behind the scenes working a little bit harder to try to confirm what happened here and maybe reopen the thread once we know. It has not yet been confirmed that the information was posted was actually this doctor or a member trying to make it seem like he was a better investigator than he really was.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, that's what happened.
Several other threads suddenly popped up because of
this. Well, that's normal. Right.
Were you going to go into that?
Yeah,
well,
Yeah, yeah.
Copycats. Okay.
All right, I'll shut up then.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, yes. Another thread cropped up talking about the thread. And but what happened was is the member who posted what initially looked like personal information said that he got that information by tracing the post author's IP address. Well, it's not possible for him to get the IP address of the author. And actually, and we banned that member because when we actually dug deeper, the address or the location he attributed to the IP address of the author Boulder MD, which he didn't have, was not the real IP address, and as staff we have access to it, was nothing close to what he was actually posting with and where he was posting from. It was not an institutional address. He was posting from his home address, you know, just something that simple. So he was faking it. He was pretending to be something more than he was, and that was clearly false information, but being posted to ATS, and he was banned for it.
And on that note, the point that I was going to lean towards was the thread that came up where one member had thought that the storyline was similar to the John Teeter storyline.
There were some similarities, and there was someone else somewhere that also posted that the storyline being posted was a hypothetical research project for a movie script under development.
Really?
Yes. Well, yeah. What a great place to test.
Well, you know what's funny, and we've talked about this. I don't mean to cut you off, Bill, because I know you got other things to say, and this will be a short sidebar.
Are you
but
sure?
we have said shut up, John. But we have said numerous times there are movie producers, movie directors, script writers, everybody from Hollywood to TV to whatever that are members or are anonymous viewers of this site and get a lot of ideas for a lot of stuff that everybody sees on TV nowadays or in, you know, in whatever. And you know, that doesn't surprise me at all that someone might do something, Bill, as you said, just to get what people's reaction to the conspiracy angle of the thing might be, you know.
Well, it's funny that you used to say that.
See, I segued you right into your next one.
No, you didn't.
Okay. But Christ. All right, go ahead.
But no, there is a movie coming out this Friday by, what's the M. Night, what's his last name? M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, is a happening coming out Friday? Oh.
M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong, whatever his name is.
Except for The Village. That sucked, but the other ones were pretty
good.
I
like The Village.
Did you really?
Yeah,
I mean, a guy dressed up in a wolf outfit? Come on, John.
You have to look at it from a different out-of-the-box view.
I did, and it sucked.
Yeah, not enough tequila in there.
Sorry. Anyway, yes, this is a skeptic overview show. That's from the balcony, John. Go ahead, Bill.
To avoid the inevitable cascade of sidebars, which is about to happen, go see the movie and tell me that he didn't get pretty much the entire basis of the movie from ATS.
Okay.
I know exactly that he did.
Yes.
We talked about this privately, as a matter of fact.
Yes, we did. Anyway, one more that we'll cover, then we'll get back to questions. The topic I want to bring up, and then the Ask the Overlord, whatever thing that you got going on there.
Okay.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah. 328 replies to a news thread posted just a few days ago on June 6th by the author Finn1916, Max Hardcore, found guilty in obscenity trial. And this one sparked an intense and passionate conversation.
Oh, yes, it did.
In Florida, if you're unaware of Max Hardcore, he is one of the more what's the word I could
flamboyant?
Use? that could be one word. Of course, it could be taken differently in the hardcore realm. But anyway, yes, he does produce hardcore, XXX, maybe 5X videos that have a certain apparent flair for, they're the more intense of the hardcore videos. And I have not seen them, but he's pretty well known for being on high on the intensity scale.
He puts the word hard in hardcore.
That's right.
Is that the guy they call Tripod?
No, I don't think so.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay, that was just a rumor. All right, go ahead, Bill.
I'm sure, rumor just in your mind.
I am so sorry. Go ahead, Bill.
Anyway, yes, he was found guilty in Florida, and the the debate shifts back and forth between all spectrums of the free speech and he's a smut peddler, should be killed spectrum in the discussion. And it really does bring up a lot of really good issues in free speech, and how far does free speech go, and where does free speech stop and responsibility begin. So another good thread on more levels than just the topic.
Oh yeah.
So there's a few others this week, but really, you know, it was a very strange week in ATS. More clairvoyance and paranormal topics seem to dominate this week than in typical weeks, both in news and just the threads that got a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. One thing that's happened in the news that was posted, it has sort of been not necessarily brushed aside, but because I pay attention to the technology news, this came up on the CNET news.com blog that the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration,
right,
will no longer, will now not let you fly if you don't produce your identification.
Right.
Technically, they've been doing that for some time, and if you, their rationale for this is saying that the terrorists tend to say, "Oh, I lost my ID," and not produce it. And as long as it's a domestic flight, you don't need ID to fly from one state or one city in the U.S. to another. But now, if you don't produce your ID, you can't fly.
Now, wait, I got to stop you there. Wait a minute. Now, I can only speak for Southwest Airlines because that's the one I normally fly. Of course, their home base here is here in Dallas. And they require you to have an ID just before you even get to the security gate.
They make you, they lead you to believe that you must have it. But the rules really are that, you know, if you're flying within the United States from one location to another, you don't have to produce your identification.
Well, didn't they learn anything from 9/11? That doesn't make any sense. I just assumed that you had to have ID.
No.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding you.
So you're telling me since 9/11, you don't have to produce an ID if you say, well, I've lost my ID, that they're going to let you go through the security gates and get on board that plane as long as you don't have like something going off on the metal detector?
If it's a domestic flight and there's no other reason to prevent you, that's correct.
John, did you know that?
I'm looking for my papers. Give me your papers.
Did you know that, John?
I'm yes, sure I did, yeah. Sir.
I actually, I knew you would.
Sorry, I tried to throw a little Nazi humor in there.
It was really good. It sounded a little bit more Australian, though. I just assumed everybody had to show an ID to get on the damn plane.
You don't have to. I mean, you need to produce some proof that you are who you say you are in to get your ticket, and that usually is a credit card. So you can go up to a ticket kiosk, swipe your credit card and get your tickets and go on the plane. And you know, so you can get a boarding pass without ID. Mm. That's not hard. And really, technically speaking, I mean, yes, the TSA has done a lot of work to lead you to believe that you must produce photo ID to get on the plane. And that's not necessarily true. They want to see your ID before they'll let you into the security area.
Right.
But if you say you've lost it and it's a domestic flight, or you won't produce ID and it's a domestic flight, they're not required until now to make you stop.
Well, then I'm all for that. Sorry. You know, those that disagree, sorry. You know, I'm all for it. You don't have an ID, tough. You ain't getting on my plane. You know.
Okay. Well, wait for it.
Uh-oh, here comes the drum roll. Go ahead.
Well, here's the rub. Now, they've been saying all along that the terrorists tend to say, or typically say, I lost my ID.
Right.
Well, if that's your reason for not having ID at the gate, they'll send you over to extra security, but then still let you on. They only won't let you on if you refuse to give ID. So apparently they're assuming that the terrorists lie and just say, oh, I...
Well, you know, but then you can take it one step further than that and say, okay, well, now if I'm a terrorist, I'm just playing in the terrorist mode. If I'm a terrorist, now I've got to produce an ID. Well, hell, I just go down to Joe Blow over here, give him $300 or $400 and have a fake ID made. I mean, anybody, you know, I mean, there's, it's, you know, if kids can do it, I mean, a terrorist can do it, right?
Well, the point I'm making, though, it goes down to this really, what we've had here isn't really security. It's only been the false perception of security.
I see it. Yep. God, that's crazy as hell.
Yes, it is. And it just continues to get more crazy.
Well, you got anything else before we go into this plethora of your favorite subjects?
No, I guess that'll cover it for tonight.
All right. Well, if you have any questions that you would like to ask the Skeptic Overlord, please go to the ATS Mix area. Go into the information area. Four areas there. Go into the information area, and you'll see a little thread called Ask the Skeptic Overlord. And
can I add something real quick, Dave?
I'd love you to add something real quick.
Mr. Rabbit, in his wisdom, has also included another little segment here. If you want to call us up at our toll-free number at 1-877-417-2204, you can ask the Skeptic Overlord by leaving a recorded message, and then we will play that recorded message to then play for Bill, and he'll answer you indirectly as such.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get more information about how you could ask any of our guests a question, even come online live with Johnny and I if you'd like, there's a new thing in the guest area of the ATS Mix where you can sign up to be a VIP host member and be able to be on call to go and ask upcoming guest questions for yourself live. Okay, Bill, listen, since you've been online, you know, we got through page 4 last week, and we flipped over to page 5, and believe it or not, it was just bumps. So we have actually covered every single question that could possibly be asked of the Skeptic Overlord has been asked by the membership. So we decided that we were going to do a little sidebar for you that I know you're going to love. And before we get into it, I just have one question for you, baby puppy. And that is, Bill, is there a secret forum in which the moderators and their actions are discussed behind the scenes? And if so, what is that area called, lovingly?
What?
I'll answer for him. He's like, what's your ice melting too fast in your glass? Is there a secret forum where the moderators, we all go and discuss actions and blah, 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 behind the scenes?
You're running his setup here, Bill.
Yeah. Dave.
Are you talking about the cosmic forum?
Oh, there it is!
Yeah, baby! Who says he can't be a straight man? Woo! Thank you, Bill. Yes, we have an area called...
By saying it was secret. It's not really secret.
I know, but it's not secret since I blabbed it several months ago. There I go. I don't think Bill wants you to tell about Cosmic. I mean, what the hell? I mean, you know, they know we're not doing all this stuff through smoke signals. All right, so anyway, yeah, there's a secret place that all the moderators and the administrators and the owners go. It's called Cosmic. You members don't see it because it's invisible except for those of us that are in there. Okay. Well, Bill, because we were at the very bottom of the barrel, speaking of the bottom of the barrel, we decided to go to the Mod Squad and see if they had questions that they wanted to have answered. It's kind of a final segment for this time until we build up some more questions from the membership. They had one thing that they absolutely demanded. John, will you tell them what that is,
please? Absolutely. Because of the nature of some of these questions, they wanted to make sure that Dave and I asked them anonymously so it wouldn't put their job security in jeopardy.
Yeah, so you'll just, you know, if a question comes out, you just got to figure out either that or you all of us like you do and go, all right, who said this? You know, and then see how many people come forward in Cosmic. A tongue. Anyway, I'll start with the first one. Okay, from anonymous mod member, just how secure is ATS? Without touching on anything that might give people bad ideas to try, how safe are you to use as an example?
Secure in that, in what way secure?
Well, they want to, this particular moderator wants to know how safe is our personal information, you know, and he or she says, please, for we non-geeks, use small words.
Okay. Well, the pretty safe, since the only real personal information that's stored is your email address, and that's not visible to anyone but me, who can see the database. So it's pretty secure, unless somebody were to actually hack through. But then our database is essentially invisible to the internet. You can't get at it from the internet. So it's pretty secure.
So it'd have to be an inside job, basically.
It'd have to be, yes. Well,
Sorry. Now I'm a gathering of
as you add to a conspiracy all in itself.
Well,
yeah, you know, there you go.
That'll bring some more numbers in.
Even still, I mean, the only possible inside job would be for someone at the hosting company to get at it, and they just don't have the same passwords that I do.
Yeah. Damn those CIA guys. All right, go ahead, John.
All right. Another anonymous mod wanted to know this. Do you sometimes, Bill, use a sock puppet for ATS discussions? And by the way, what the hell is a sock puppet?
I do not have a puppeted sock. The sock puppet is a alternate username. I barely have time to post as myself. Much less.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said that. And this was not my question, by the way. But I never knew. I always wondered in Cosmic, what the hell are they talking about sock puppet? But I didn't want to show my stupidity by posting it in Cosmic. So that's another thing all the moderators do is we try not to show our stupidity to our fellow moderators.
You shouldn't be too worried about that because everyone already knows your stupidity.
I know. All right, next one from anonymous moderator. What are the point values associated with the new Warren Skittles? I think we've determined the off-topic Skittle carries no point deduction, and there seems to be rumors of a 1,000-pointer floating around, but I'm kind of clueless after that, he wants to know.
Well, first, for the people listening to this, wondering what the hell is Dave talking about, we have these little mod action buttons called that are affectionately called Skittles. It's tiny little buttons where the moderators can quickly pass out warns and one-liner posts and big quotes, and I don't know. I recoded the point values like 3 months ago, and I have no idea off the top of my head what they are now.
I think we might have time for about one more here, and that is this. Bill, how confident do you personally feel as an owner that this site can remain viable for another decade or two, or maybe even more?
Well, I feel incredibly confident that the above top secret name will survive for quite some time. Whether in a decade it's still a website or something else, it remains to be seen. The ability for people to interact with each other on these topics through some way, that's going to be strong and vital for quite some time.
All right. Well, even though he said that's the last one, it's not the last one because... Okay. There's one that's just absolutely, and we'll save the rest of these for next time, Bill, but there's one here that I think is some really intelligent moderator has asked this question, and I just think it deserves a tremendous amount of respect. And this anonymous mod says, I know the Amigos are probably paying Dave and Johnny six figures, but in my humble opinion, just their last two interviews with Jesse Ventura and Charlotte King alone deserve a huge pay raise, medical and dental.
Yeah, you guys can double your salaries. He's right.
Yeah, we get paid Zippo, folks. Yeah. Two times nothing is nothing. I love it. Yeah, we're on a leap of faith here, folks. But anyway, all right, I guess that kind of wraps. We do have some more, Bill, but because we're running so long and because you went on a rant about the Southwest Airlines guys, we had to cut it short a bit. But we'll save the rest of them for next time. And if the members would like to jump back on board so we don't have to keep using moderators, then go to the ATS Mix information area to ask the Skeptic Overlord and post your question. Please be sure and read all the questions that have already been answered before making a post. Well, Bill, any last-minute goodbyes or whatever you got going on for next week?
Well, we have a new forum. That just opened up, the Decision 2008 forum. It's dedicated to the U.S. presidential campaign.
That should
continue to get interesting. It's going to be a tough fight. We're already seeing the beginnings of some pretty scary, dirty tactics on both sides. So that should be a hot and heavy place to go within the next couple months. So keep your eyes out for what happens there, and a couple other things will be coming out over the next couple of weeks as well.
You check your digital ego at the door before entering that area.
Oh, yeah. I can tell that's going to be a mod squad moderated modded thing. Yeah. Duh. All right, Bill. We'll see you next Monday night, brother.
All right, kids.
All right,
thanks.
Thank you. All right, and that was another little segment from the Billinator.
Now, we've let the ATS Mix microphone out loose on the streets to find out what America thinks.
Am I on the air?
Are you listening?
Hold on to your speakers, because this is I'm Mad as Hell and Don't Want to Take It Anymore, starring the people that are out there on the streets, and also with Dave Rabbit.
I'm mad as hell, and I won't take it anymore.
Well, John, you won't believe this, but I'm in East Texas, and I'm talking to a trucker. This particular expose that we're doing is interviewing the guys that are the backbone of America, that are actually taking the products to the American people, and how the diesel prices, which right now in Texas are at $4.65, are affecting things. What was your first name, sir?
My first name is Rob.
Okay, Rob, I believe in our pre-interview, you told me that you're a company driver.
Yes.
Now, how does that differ from the guys that are paying their own expenses? Basically,
well, the company picks up when you work for a company, the company pays for the expenses of the truck, the things they actually own the truck, and they pay for the fuel, they pay for the permits and the licenses, and then all of the other added expenses that come with trucking. Basically, they simply pay me to drive their truck.
Okay, but when you and I talked before we started this interview, you know, because I thought it would, I said, well, you know, I really want to interview the guys that are really paying their own expenses. But you said this would, that even the diesel prices are affecting you as an individual. So will you tell me again how they're going to affect you?
Well, when the diesel prices get out of control, whenever they're too high for a company as a whole to afford to buy fuel for an entire fleet, a company's first reaction is generally to start letting go of drivers. And I'm a relatively new hire. I haven't been with this company very long. And so I know that whenever the push comes to shove, the first guy out the door was the last guy hired. And so that means me. I have to concern myself day to day with whether or not I'll have a job tomorrow, because if they can't afford to ship their product, then they can't afford to pay me, and that means I'm the first one to go.
Well, have you always been a professional driver?
I've been a professional driver for 8 years, pretty much since I was old enough to have a Class A CDL. I've been driving truck, and I spent many years working for a contract for the U.S. Postal Service, which has an added benefit because the Postal Service is able to buy fuel at government rates, which means with no taxes on them, and they pass that along to the contractors. But I've moved out of the mail hauling business and began working for a freight company, and because I've made that move recently, that's why I have to concern myself with whether or not I'll still have a job. I know my company doesn't have that same certainty with fuel.
So how long are you on the road before you have a chance to get back to your family? Or are you married or anything?
No, I'm not married, but I work locally, so I get to go home every day. Unlike a lot of these guys out here who actually live on the road, I've done a stint over the road before, and it was fine work, and it was. I actually enjoyed it quite a bit, but I had a family situation that required me to go home, and so now I've decided instead of pursuing it from an over the road standpoint, I'd try it locally, and I'm actually happier locally.
All right, one last question, and I know you got to get back on the road, but just from what you've seen, Rob, I mean, how much do you think diesel's going to get to before truckers, whether they're independent or company guys, are going to say enough is enough, and they're going to pull their rigs over on the side of the road, and they're going to say screw it, I'm not going to, you know, until they get something done about this?
Well, actually, my older brother was a fleet owner. He owned three trucks, and 2 months ago he had to sell his entire fleet.
Oh man!
Because diesel prices had gotten to the point where the trucks were running simply to keep themselves running. He couldn't maintain any type of profitability because the price of fuel had literally gone so high that he was running the trucks simply to pay for the fuel to run the trucks.
Oh,
so he had to get out of the business. So I know that from the standpoint of either the owner operator or of a small fleet operator, fuel prices are already at critical mass. If they go any higher, we're going to see almost all independent drivers, they're going to have to sell their rig because they won't be able to afford to drive them anymore. They'll have to take a job somewhere where they can support their families instead of being that that independent and that owner operator that allowed them the freedom before to support their families doing what it is that they enjoy. And whenever the prices get so far out of control that a guy can't even support his family, then there's going to be a lot more guys who have to get out of the business, and it's going to be a real shame. It really will.
Yeah, it really will. It'll be kind of the end of America as we've all come to know and love it, too.
I personally think that in this country, that the last real American cowboy is the truck driver. We're the last ones who are still out there on the trail. We choose a life that takes us away from home and away from our families.
Right.
But we choose that life because it is it's inherent in this industry that there are people who do this because of the freedom of not having a 9-to-5 job with a boss standing over your shoulder every minute of every day telling you every move to make. But right now, the biggest boss standing over all of us is the cost of fuel. The cost of actually doing what it is that we do has become such a burden to most independent drivers that I really don't think that if fuel prices get any higher, I don't think anybody will be able to stay in the business as a small independent operator or fleet owner. Mainly the big companies will be the only ones left out here doing this.
Well, listen, I appreciate your time, and I got to get back on them. All my respect, my brother.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat.